Yes, it's Talking Travel Time with Sally Lucas, and she's back.
I'm back.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Amanda.
Where are we going today?
Well, I'm following on a little bit from Barry. Actually, he listened to him last Friday while I was away.
Oh, that's great.
And he talked about Singapore, and I thought, wow, we haven't talked a lot about Asia for a while, and I thought it was interesting that he talked about Singapore, so I thought I'd talk about Hong Kong.
Oh, that sounds nice. You're going to tell us about your holiday as
and
well?
And I'll do a little, yeah, a little brief resume. I can't bore you with the whole 4 weeks of it. So
for those that don't know where you went, where did you go?
I went to Queensland. Specifically, originally, it was to do Outback Queensland, but a bit of the coast travelling between Townsville down as far as Agnes Water as well.
Okay. Well, we look forward to hearing about it. We're going to start with Hong Kong, Sal.
We will. Mm-hmm. Okay. We hadn't decided that. But
no, we hadn't. Surprise.
We've been too busy talking off here. We're catching up on 4 weeks.
That's it.
Yeah, I thought I'd talk about Hong Kong today. Following on from Barry talking about Singapore last week, I thought, wow, I haven't talked about a few Asian destinations for a while. And I thought Hong Kong in particular, I am very familiar with. Haven't been again recently, like a lot of people, I think, but have been there about 7 times in my travel career. So I know a fair bit about Hong Kong, and it's a really easy place to get around because it was originally a part of, you know, Britain. It was ruling country is there for one stage. Of course, the Brits all design everything quite perfectly in squares. So it's a very, you know what I mean, you can easily not get lost.
It's like on a grid, like Melbourne.
It's like a grid, yeah. And of course it is part of China again now. It was taken back, and we all remember, you know, the horrible protests and things that happened there a few years back now. But I just thought that's all settled now. So I'm sure that's nice to really encourage people to go back to a place once they've gotten over a disturbance. Same had happened in Sri Lanka, like we'd recently been there, and it's perfect. But they had their uprisings some years back with the Tamils that went on for 15 years. Mm. You know, so it's nice to be able to go back and revisit these countries or visit for the first time if it's not a revisit. And it's a destination in itself. I mean, like Singapore, it used to be just, oh, we'll just use it as a stopover on the way to London, or, you know, Hong Kong the same. But Hong Kong deserves a lot more time because it's not just one island. Like Victoria is the main island. Kowloon, which most people know about, is actually part of mainland China. It's part of a main landmass. But there's over 260 islands in Hong Kong.
Wow.
And not all habitable, or, you know, they're beautiful islands, but no one lives on them because, again, they've had geological changes like all of the Earth has. So some of the other really outer islands are quite magnificent with rock formations and hiking trails and so on, but you don't have communities living there. But to get to all those islands, they're all on the Victoria side of the harbour, not the Kowloon side. So my preference nowadays, even though I used to stay in Kowloon, I like to stay across on Victoria because that's where, well, the airport's out that side now, the old Kai Tak Airport. We used to fly in between the mountains and watch the people having dinner because the runway was in the middle of the harbour. And you could virtually wave at people in their dining rooms.
That's crazy.
It was unbelievable. But anyway, because they realised it got too busy and it had to change. So the airport's now on Cheplakhok Island, which is out near Lantau, which is a huge island, and they just reclaimed land and built this incredible new airport and have their own MTR transit system, which is a very fast rail system into town, which runs about every 10 minutes probably, and it's about takes about 24 minutes. So they've got a fabulous transport system to get around. When you get there, you can buy what they call an octopus card, and you can buy these even just from 7-Eleven stores and so on. And it can be your actual card for everything while you're there. You can use it to pay for transport, to pay for goods, to pay for dining. And you buy one of those and you can just use that while you're in Hong Kong, which makes life very easy. Mm. And you can top it up.
So it's like an Opal card.
It's for everything. Which is really great. So, yeah, to get around is easy. And, of course, on the island you've got the famous peak where you can go up the funicular and go up there at sunset and see the most incredible sunsets, which is wonderful. And then you've got Ladder Street where you keep going up. It's got escalators some of the way now, but you used to have to walk, which was quite strenuous. It's very hilly, Hong Kong Island.
Right.
But each cross street has got a different specialty. Like that one might be a shoe street or this street, a bit like they do in Hanoi in Vietnam, where the different streets are like Paper Street and Silk Street. So you've got all these different streets. And, of course, it's an absolute foodies paradise. There's about, I'm going to probably say the wrong number, but I think there's over 70 Michelin-rated restaurants in Hong Kong.
That's fantastic.
I think it's the most of any city in the world. And also even a lot of the street hawker food is so good it's been Michelin rated. There's a couple of those as well.
So you could eat your way through Hong Kong.
Oh, and all sorts of cuisine. As you imagine, coming in from China, of course, you've got all the different areas of China have different cuisines, you know, from the mild to the hottest of hot with your Szechuan chilies and peppers and, you know, so it's a real range of getting around. And there's a lovely island that I like going to. A couple of times I've been there now, and it's, you can't take traffic over there. There is some traffic on the island for the people that are there. Obviously, you've got people that have to do repair work and you know what I'm saying, but it's sort of more of a walking island, a pedestrian island, Chung Chow Island, and they have a bun festival there every year, which is really quite amazing. They have to Everyone has to climb this incredible tower and see how many buns they can get and bring them back down, and then the winner has the most buns and then you eat them. But they also have this wonderful light festival, Luminescence it's called, which is over the harbour every night at about 8 p.m. So you can just sit there and somewhere that you get a good vantage point, and whether it be in a park or whether it be in a restaurant, and you can see this wonderful light festival, lots of markets, you know, everywhere. It's famous for its race courses. Hong Kong racing is a big event over there. Aberdeen is a fishing village. There's a famous beach since the 19th century, and there was a famous hotel there which was also used in World War II as a hospital, Repulse Bay, and that's where you can go and swim, and it's just been one of those time immemorial beaches over there because people don't think of beach when they think Hong Kong. Mm. But, of course, on the island you do have those availabilities. So it really has a lot to offer. And on Kowloon, again, they've got their markets as well and different, you know, both sides are different. It's one city, but because it's spread across the harbour, and even though you've got the transit system which goes by tunnel under the harbour, I still love to go on the old Star Ferry. Yeah. You know, and we talk about getting rid of vows. People say, no, you don't do that. That's history. Like even in Switzerland at Lake Geneva, they've restored all their old ferries, so you can go on these beautiful old ferries around the lake. And even in Queenstown, the Lady Earnslaw, I went to New Zealand in the 1960s. 67, I think it was, that little steam is still operating on Lake Wakatipe in Queenstown.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So you don't get rid of these things. You keep the maintenance, and they're a tourist attraction. So the old Star Ferry, it's a good way, and I love watching all the stuff that's happening on the harbour and all that sort of thing. So it's a very exciting place to go, and it's an exciting city. So, yeah, anyway, we can talk a little bit more about it in the next bit, and I might even just squeeze in a little bit of my trip. Yeah, we're still in Hong Kong, one of the other islands that's great to get to, and it's a shame it's sort of out near the airport now that the airport's out at Chip Lap Kok, is the Lantau Island. It's quite a large island there, and it's also got beaches as well, but it's got the big Buddha there, this 34-metre huge Buddha. He's just simply known as the Big Buddha, and he's on a hilltop, and you can get a cable car now that gets you there unless you're really up for the millions of steps, of course.
No, thanks.
And do a step class. But anyhow, so that is always something that's worth doing as well. And then they've also got just near from there, about 10 minutes from there, there's a path called the Wisdom Path. And it traces a series of upright monuments called steles, S-T-E-L-E-S, which contain verses from the centuries-old Heart Sutra, which is one of the world's best-known prayers revered by Confucians, Buddhists and Taoists. So you can go through that as well, which is really quite interesting. And there's a fort there which dates back to 1832 that has quite a history. But when the British took control of Hong Kong back in 1898, the fort was abandoned. But during World War II, Japanese forces occupied it, and it also has served as a police station and then a college. Oh. So it's been a lot of things. So that's quite interesting. And again, you've got a 70-kilometre trail that crisscrosses across the island for those that are into hiking, as well as an old fishing village called the Tayo Fishing Village, which its roots go all the way back to the Ming Dynasty, that was from the 1300s to the 1600s. Mm. So there's a lot of history. There's a lot to see and do in Hong Kong. All the islands have something different to offer. The airport, if you can't stay in Hong Kong, for those that are just doing a direct connection, there's three hotels at the airport, which is good, so you don't have to get, you know, the train all the way into the city if you've just got a connection where you've got to have an 8 hour, 7 hour. But they're now offering free layover tours as well. The airport is offering you, if you're there for more than 7 hours between flights, if you want to fill in some time, they're giving you a free tour of Hong Kong.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and take you back to the airport. So that's all something worthwhile considering also. So, no, look, Hong Kong has a lot to offer, as I said, whether you're a foodie, whether you like to shop, whether you like history. it's got it all, and just some lovely museums as well, beautiful museums. Just, yeah, it's a stunning place. It
there
really
you go.
Is.
Another one for the bucket list.
And I thought I'd mention, yes, I just did this little road trip, 8,500 kilometres later road trip. But we hadn't done Outback Queensland. So if you haven't done it, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably have, and there would be tours that would do part of this as well, maybe not the whole lot of what we did, but certainly you would find tour companies if you're not up for the drive. But I've had a couple of people talk to me since who want to take grandkids there. And I said, look, it is a long way. They might get a bit bored. But what you could do, you could go like Newcastle, Brisbane, Long Reach, or Sydney, Brisbane, Long Reach. You could either do a tour out of there, like do these small bus tours, like mini bus tours, or you could do it yourself with a rental car. And they call it the Science Circle, but it's actually following where all the dinosaurs were.
Oh,
and it's
cool.
Just incredible. It really is. So these places are like Longreach, Winton, Hughenden, and they've all got museums pertaining to the dinosaur age that we had back here billions of years ago. And they've reconstructed what was, his name's Cooper, which was the biggest dinosaur after T-Rex. And it's, you look at it and I've got pictures of part of the femur, which is just bigger than me, and the jaw, and it's mind-blowing.
Were there any Mudabuttersauruses?
Yes, there were. And the other small ones, which is the unique part about this part of the world, is it's the only place in the world where so far they have found records of a dinosaur stampede. And they've actually taken the whole track where it was found, when it was realised what it was. And this has only all happened in the last 20-odd years from memory, or might be 30, but certainly it's all recent. And they've put it under cover now so it cannot be disturbed anymore and trodden on or pooed on by cows or whatever. And it's in this huge, big, undercover building now, which costs them a fortune, and it's temperature controlled. And you can't take anything in there like, food or drink or anything to make sure nothing gets spilt or et cetera. So what it was the small dinosaurs who were herbivores.
Yes.
And they were being chased by our big Cooper or the equivalent thereof. So one way was blocked and they couldn't get out. So then they just had to turn and run. And so you've got all these little three-pronged, you can see it in the footprints, and with this occasionally this one big one. So it's this actual proof of this stampede, and your mind blows.
You think, fascinating.
But billions of years. And to think they've found that, it must have taken eons for it to, all the other soils and everything to erode to get down to this layer that is proving that we had dinosaurs. So it's so much about history, of how we've evolved. And back then, it's hard to imagine. You go to this part of Queensland and there's hardly a hill to be seen. It's like if you're in those parts of Western Australia or the Nullarbor, where it's just flat as far as the eye can see. But back then, of course, it was lush and tropical, and they had plenty to live off, of course, until we were hit. As we all know, we had this massive hit of meteorites or whatever it was that hit Earth, and, of course, everything was just obliterated, and so they didn't have anything to eat or drink, and they all died. So it's fascinating, but also you've got the history of Banjo Patterson in Winton, and there's a specific museum for him. So what they're doing in a lot of these towns now, the state government, because they're small, are putting money in, so they've got these beautiful museums, because a lot of these little towns, some of them, you feel sorry, like every second shop or third shop's, they're dying, like a lot of these places are. So by encouraging tourism and by building these beautiful museums and facilities, at least, we're preserving this area, because it really is so important in our geological history.
Well, so, it's a great idea, and I love dinosaurs, so I might have to get the
you might have to get my itinerary. And, of course, you've got beautiful hot springs in all these areas, which at Cunnamulla, they were just stunning, and they've got this beautiful $11.5 million facility that is built to, showcase these gorgeous hot springs, and there you are bathing on the river, overlooking the river, and these beautiful new hot pools they've made with a steam room and a sauna with its glass, so you can look out over the river as well. And then you've got a relaxation room. And
beautiful.
So, yeah, It's all out there.
There you go.
And that's just part of it.
And my bucket list continues.
And your bucket list continues, as does mine.
That's it. This is Talking Travel, and we are talking hot deals, Sal.
We certainly are, and we've got a few here this week. Oceania Cruises have a special offer, which is quite remarkable, of up to 40% off their a selected range of their sailings and categories in Europe in 2026. And with them, they're small ship luxury cruising, so you're talking five star. You get all specialty dining, you know, it's no extra. Some of the shipping companies, you pay extra for your specialty dining and so on. You get your shipboard gratuities included, complimentary wine and beer, or alternatively, you get a shore excursion credit if you're not a drinker. Mm-hmm. And they're going into, their cruises will cover like the destinations of Spain, Portugal, Italy, France, Greece, Turkey and Montenegro. So a lovely range of areas to cruise in. And this offer finishes on the 1st of November. But it's on a range of their sailings, first in, best dressed, and finishes on the 1st of November. So that is really quite fantastic. And talking Australia, not that we are talking Kimberley today, but that is another beautiful area. We had our friends in Darwin on a road trip the same time as us, and we were exchanging photos, and they were driving all the way across doing the Great Gibb River Road and all the rock pools. You should see the photos of all the rock pools. They are crystal clear, and all these wonderful gorges like El Cuestro and, just stunning. So anyway, Outback Spirit, they've got some savings on their Kimberley tours. A couple of their Kimberley tours are 16 and a 15 day from Broome, which go, one of them just does Broome and the Kimberley, and the other one includes getting you back to Darwin. Just one night at the end, but that includes a flight back to Darwin. Their early bird sale finishes on the 30th of September, and you can save anywhere from $4,600 to $5,140 per couple on their tours, so that's fantastic. Top Deck Travel.
Oh, I did a Top Deck Travel younger.
Oh, there you go.
It was great.
Well, we've got a sale on at the moment as well. So it ends on the 7th of October, so you've got a little bit of time for that one, and you get up to 15% off. It does range how much, but just to give you an idea of the countries they go to, which you're probably aware of, Amanda, Northern Thailand, Deep South Korea, Egypt, New Zealand, South Island, Vietnam, Cambodia, Central Europe, winter in Europe, Eastern Europe, Japan, Britain and Ireland, Spain and Portugal, Iceland, yeah. Turkey, Greece, Greek Isles, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, just keep that in mind. So that goes up. Any bookings made between now and the 7th of October, and it's for departures from September this year through to December only. So it's a short-lived one for the rest of this year. They're probably just filling up, you know, last-minute seats.
They're still for 18 to 35-year-olds?
Yeah, they are mainly, but they sort of, some of them now, they do have, if you like, a little bit more upmarket itineraries as well. So you do have a better range now.
Right.
Yes. One-of-a-kind rail adventures. How about those? So there's a lot of people out there that love train. And this is a tour of New Zealand, and it's doing the wonderful Southern Alps, which I can't wait to do next year. And they're doing a transalpine train journey in that as well, with a saving of up to $3,400 a couple. Or if you're doing the Rocky Mountaineer, another gorgeous train ride in Canada, there's savings up to $2,000 per couple, subject to availability as long as there are vacancies. Viking have got a world cruise. Oh, this is incredible. I keep looking at this itinerary on the map and it's just, wow, it's a 142-day itinerary.
Oh,
wow. Leaves on the 28th of December 2027 from Fort Lauderdale and you end up in London eventually. But they've also got on this, actually, some sectors subject to availability. Obviously, they'd like everyone to do the full cruise, but they know not everyone's got 142 days. So you can buy segments of it as well. But you're sort of starting in Fort Lauderdale, you're going all the way up then the west coast of America. You're coming across down through the Pacific region, roll all the way through to New Zealand, around the east coast of Australia, up into Asia, across to India, down around the bottom of South Africa, all the way up the top of Africa, Morocco, Spain, Portugal, you end up in. It's just magnificent. Now, if you book by 1 December, they've got some great savings on that and on some of those sectors that I mentioned that are available as well. And last but not least, HX, Hurdy-Gurdon. They've got up to $8,000 off some last-minute sailings to Antarctica for the rest of this year. It depends which one, and plus a $900 early booking bonus. And that also finishes 30 September.
Oh, some great offers there.
There are. So just take advantage of them. There's lots out there. I could have bought a heap more, but I'd run out of time.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you can bring
them. Well, I've done that anyway. I've run out of time.
That's right. Well, we'll catch up with you next week on Talking Travel Sale.
Thanks, Amanda. Good to be back.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.